Watch it. Boys racing. Here we go. And go hard. And go hard.
Headless Pod with Sam and Megan.
We are off and we are racing at the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. Welcome to the first of what will be five race recaps that we are going to roll out throughout the week. My name is Sam Jordan. Mackenzie Heinart is on the other end of the line. Fourth place in the West Coast downwind. Maka, we're going to break down the race in a moment, but mate, how are you feeling? Congratulations.
Thanks, Sam. Feeling good. Nice way to start the week. I said to before the race yesterday, you know what? It's not going to be very difficult to do better than last year coming off a 36th place. So,
well, you made a flying start to that.
Things are looking up.
Great memories last year. What did I think you and I, a classic sprint finish, you know, racing all the way to the beach for what was about 36th, 37th place. Thankfully, you're a bit quicker this year. I'm actually a lot slower. I'm coming to you from Sydney. You're in Perth, Macca. Just firstly, how's the vibe over there? You know, we've been looking forward to this week for such a long time. I had big FOMO yesterday.
The vibe is good. The vibes are high. Everyone's pumped. The big tent? What's it affectionately known as?
The big top.
The big top. The COVID top. Things are much larger. Much larger. I reckon there's a good 50 square meters added on. They've got Christmas trees in there with Nutri-Grain boxes. They're giving away a ski a day. Things have improved. Things are very, very good.
I noticed they got an outdoor area as well. The big tops are a lot more breathable this year, which is good because I think a lot of people got COVID last year from sitting in that tent.
We don't need that.
It's good that they've opened the aeration up for what is going to be a long week of racing. Let's not delay. Let's get stuck into our race cap. Race.
Ooh.
I am battling a chronic hangover today.
Are we leaving I hope you're leaving this in.
Yeah, leave it in. I'm very hungover today.
You know what? I'm not. I've been doing well. No drinking in Hong Kong, no drinking after the West Coast. I'm a changed man. You're making up for it though.
Oh, mate, I feel sick. But you know what? Everyone had to roll up their sleeves in terms of racing yesterday, so let's go again. This is the first of our Shaw & Partners WA Race Week recaps brought to you via Vicobi. Pat and the team, they're on board to bring you all of these episodes throughout the week. They're our quick hits. They're talking through what has happened, and we may as well stop talking about this and get into it. I was looking at the results again this morning, Macca. I did see them yesterday when they filtered through, but by that point, I'd had a few beers and I couldn't really see straight. So when I was looking at the results again today, it is incredible just how competitive, not the top 20 is, mate, all the way to the top 50.
Yeah.
Like, there is class paddlers all the way through. That top 20 is incredibly strong. I guess it's summed up by the fact that in 20th place was Kenny Rice, the current world and Doctor champion. And in 19th was Uli Hard, who got third last year at the Doctor. So it goes to show just how strong the racing is. We'll run through our top 10 in the men to start things off. In 10th place was Joshua Fenn. 9th, Tom Norden. 8th, Josh Trevarthen. 6th.
Yeah, huge.
Oh, man, I can't even string a sentence together. 7th was Nicholas Notton. 6th, Riley Fitzsimmons. 5th, Austin Kiefer. 4th, yeah. Mackenzie Heinard. And our top 3, Gordon Harbrecht, Hank McGregor, and our winner. Why am I yelling? And our winner is Mr. November, Corey Hill. It's hard to know where to start, Macca. I think we better start with the conditions. Just talk us through what we did see in terms of the wind and the course yesterday.
Course just the same as it has been for time and time again. Fremantle near the port back to Scarborough, it's about 23K, depending on what line you take. The wind definitely didn't come in till much later, and it definitely got better the whole way throughout the race, which, I mean, if we had started later, we might have got some better conditions the whole way. Regardless, I would much rather the wind be better at the end than have to deal with dying wind. So everyone was really pumped. once again, they did four race starts, so that was good to separate people out. They had a few paddlers go off 20 minutes before the women. Then the women went off. The men were 5 minutes behind, and then the over 50s and doubles 5 minutes behind them with the SUP foils, which might be something I take up after I hang up the boots of paddling.
Oh, God. They look like they have so much fun. The amount of times they've just flown past us at the Docker and things like that. You go, far out.
Quick side interjection was like, I was speaking to Pat last night and he was talking to him because they have a lot to do with, you know, sponsoring some of the foil guys. And Pat does it himself, actually, a lot of wing foiling. And their comment to him was, why do you guys paddle? It just looks so hard. And I was like, true.
You know what? We often ask ourselves the same question some days, but hey, I'm looking forward to seeing the next flat race that there is and there's no wind and they can just paddle along. Actually, they don't normally do it.
But look, the start was a bit of shambles, I'm not going to lie. You could probably ask anyone around. It was definitely, not done to maybe how it was done in the past or the caliber of starts that we're getting used to knowing. And a few people were, I wouldn't say that people got it right and people got it wrong. And Kenny Rice was someone that did get it wrong. Anyway, the race itself was pretty good. I mean, I thought it was great. Everyone had a great time. The wind definitely got good towards the end. And yeah, that's what I'll say on the conditions front. And I don't know, I guess we'll talk about how the race unfolds in the next bit of it.
Well, Maka, to be honest, I don't really know a lot of what happened yesterday, so you may as well keep pushing on that start. Okay, obviously the start, and it obviously had an effect in the women's race as well. We'll get to that. But, you know, it did play a role in influencing some of these results. We've acknowledged that now. I guess to kind of look past that, for those that were thereabouts, like I know what, you're about 50 to 100 metres behind off the start. Like, look, once the race kind of settled in, maybe a few Ks in, where were people? Who was where?
Top guys at the front, Corey and Hank, Tommy on the inside, you know, always going to happen. A few guys else around, Riley Fitz up the front, Josh up the front, Gordon up the front. And yeah, I was probably a little bit wider with Corey Taylor. Just like, it's hard when you give away that space to people. You're never really in the fight from the start. And, you know, it does make a difference. I hadn't seen Kenny. I didn't see Kenny or the other guys that definitely missed the start. I think that they had a great idea about boxing the start and have like a moving line, and they wanted to cater for the fact that it gets pushed. And I think that was great. I just think it needs a bit of refinement. They didn't have many boats out there and they didn't have a very clear, distinctive two boys that people had to go through. So people were starting like, you know, 500, if not further, out to sea of where they should have been. So yeah, I think it just needs a bit of refinement, but they're onto something good there.
We see that exact start strategy get rolled out at the Gorge, and it works really, really well.
It does.
You know, really well. From you in fourth to 10th, there's less than 45 seconds. I think it's about 42 seconds.
Close.
How tight was it in those closing stages? Because, like, you know, there's a couple of names in different positions that you might not have expected, but mate, one wrong decision and that's that.
Yeah, I was sort of out on my own and I was in like clear sixth, I think, for what would have been like 5 to 10K. And then at 10K, I thought like, okay, like I'm doing 330s. This is good, you know, like, and I'm not redlining. I know that I want to go balls to the wall with 6K to go. And then Matt Fenn came past me doing, I don't know, 180 strokes a minute, just paddling over everything. And I was like, oh, right, shit, I got to up it. So it was actually nice. Like I've said it before, I love racing. I love dicing. And I sort of got lost a little bit when I wasn't with anyone. And that was like a bit of, it was actually nice for me. I was like, okay, get up and go. And instead of like looking at the people on the inside, I then had people around in my vicinity to race. And I only saw those two guys and they were my markers, Riley Fitz and Matt Fenn. We were dicing and then I took back the lead and I knew like at Trigg, I was like, okay, I got to put the hammer down now. And I definitely put the like put the blinkers on. I didn't even want to know where anyone else was. It wasn't going to affect my race. I just knew I had to. Well, I can't run up the beach very well, so I was like, I've got to close this out before it comes to a run up the beach. And I was pretty happy to do that. Actually, that was probably the best thing I took out of my race, was like when it came down to it, and like I didn't look back, but I could, you know, when you just know that everyone's there and you can't give up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
It's every race ever in WA.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Like, it's unbelievable.
You look back and it's not worth it.
That's right. That's right. Like, I guess oh, God, it's going to be a long day. I haven't even started writing stuff at work yet. I've just sat in front of my computer for the best part of 3 hours. I guess the proximity of everyone being so close, like I mentioned the top 10 there before, but if you go back to 12th, who was Matt Fenner, 11th, Oscar Jones, you know, they're all inside that 45 seconds as well from you all the way back there. You mentioned that you were dicing Matt. It goes to show how, you know, it was like that at the end, that one wrong decision and you could end up in 12th. A couple of results I quickly want to run through before we do speak about the women's race. Josh Trevarthan in 8th.
Huge.
A West Australian paddler. Absolutely unbelievable result. He's also in the over 40s as well. That's Hank McGregor areas for him to be kind of in the top 10 there. And that's the best result that he's had paddling a surf ski as well. Like, really, really good to see a WA local, you know, in that top 10. Like, Brendan Rice was 13th, of course. We have Fergus Morgan, world's fastest paddler, 17th. He was one behind Ben Carrick, another local. But to have a name like Josh in that top 10, that's an awesome result. And he was one place behind Nick Naughton. He's returned to racing, Nicky. We haven't seen him since, you know, this time last year was when he did fall quite ill and had to pull out of his trip to Australia because he was struggling with the effects of what was essentially chronic fatigue. Maka, how is Nicky going? You know, how'd he look paddling? How's his energy levels? It's so good to have him back.
Now, yeah, I literally turned up to the Sorrento Quality Beach Resort and everyone was out the front and Nick's was there and he's just like, he's a bit of beam of sunshine,
such,
right? Just
such that, a happy guy. Yeah. So good.
He was, and he's in good spirits. Like, he's loving it. He's loving paddling. And his comment after the race was like, oh, that was tough. That was tough. And I was like, yeah, it was actually. I mean, it would be a bit rude of a shock. Like, he hasn't done a hell of a lot of racing. He's probably someone that I think will just build into this week. It'll be
100%.
Yeah, you'd be a bit of a danger, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. If you keep going up that results list, Austin Kiefer in the top 5. So good.
He was like, he will tell you, he was like 13th. With 4K to go.
Oh, right.
And he was just...
And he's flown home.
He just went wide line and then he goes... It was just like picking up people and he was just flying. He would have... He has a 309 next to his name.
Oh, wow.
In that, like...
In that race, yeah. That's unreal.
Yeah, like Corey maybe had a 312. We were comparing splits last night. So I have a 309 in that final stages and everyone else is doing, you know, a 320... You've picked up massive. Like, that's picking up 3 runs in 1K. Once you get in that headspace, it's like everything's achievable. So, I mean, he was pumped. When he crossed the line, I looked back and he was just a smile ear to ear. And I was too for him. So happy for him.
Yeah, I think he's someone who's really going to benefit from, you know, I guess, you know, he's made that adjustment. He's working a lot now, but he's found a good balance with enjoying his paddling. And I think that's going to show in the results. Gordon Harbrecht, we all know it, but I think anyone in Australia who's still in that kind of, you know, archaic mindset that the Europeans aren't as good downwind, well, Gordon's certainly blown that out of the water. To go top 3 in that field in those conditions, awesome result. And of course, at the very top, it's Hank McGregor and it's Corey Hill once again. Corey being 26 seconds ahead of Hank, but I think we're going to see plenty of battles for them over the week. Looking at the women's results, let's do our top 10. And in 10th place was Nikki Burkett, 9th Jasmine Locke, 8th Emily Doyle, 7th Saskia Hockley, 6th Georgia Miller, 5th Melanie Van Nierkerk, 4th Danielle McKenzie, 3rd Kira Bester, 2nd was Michelle Byrne, and the winner was Gemma Smith. She takes an early lead in the Shaw & Partners WA Race Week point score as she looks to reclaim that crown. Now, Maka, let's start with Gemma. That's a really good win, and it's a strong confidence-boosting win to kick off the week as well. She was about a minute 15 ahead of Michelle Byrne in second.
Yeah, I think it was always going to happen, right? I think she's definitely the informed paddler. It was quite interesting having, you know, not... We saw Gemma race at the 20 Beaches, but, you know, I don't believe that she was quite pushed there. And so this is her first real race to be pushed. And after that 20 Beaches, we definitely saw Mish Byrne and Kira Bester go head-to-head in a couple of races. And it was like, okay, you know, these guys are, you know, paddling really well. It was always going to be a matchup to see where everything's at. I wouldn't... That time frame, I'd expect it to narrow down. I think that they're going to come close together. They obviously haven't raced each other in some time. I think everyone's feeling out the situation. And you don't know what plays into how things are going to unfold. We've obviously got much shorter races on the Tuesday and Thursday, which are going to suit a lot of paddlers. All the field, you know, you talk about 45 seconds between 4th and what was it?
12th.
4th and 12th. There's now going to be 45 seconds between 1st and 20th, like in those short races. Yeah, it's a big confidence boost for Jem, though. Not that she probably needed it. I definitely think she's the informed paddler. She's the one to beat. But it's still nice to get that first little win. Wouldn't say little. Big win of the week.
100%. But also, you know, it's the first time she's raced a full international field. Or there has been a full full international field racing, you know, altogether. So just to get a win like that, certainly a good start for Gemma. I think for Michelle Burning, particularly Kira Bester too, you know, being in Australia,
close,
like...
Hey?
Really close. That's less than a second between the two of them, 0.9 of a second. So no doubt they would have enjoyed that sprint finish. But, you know, for both of them to know that, they, you know, they'll build into the week as well. Someone that I guess is, you know, one to watch this week, and it sounds funny to say that about the defending race week champion, the defending doctor champion and a former world champion, is Danielle McKenzie. She spent all of her year in the kayak. Now, we know that, you know, she's only got 1 week in WA, as we're now found out, that she's been able to take away from her Olympic training. So no world championships for Danielle McKenzie is massive news. But she was also someone that was affected by that start yesterday, right, Macca?
Yeah, correct. I don't think she missed the start quite entirely, but she was definitely like, I'm not going to say did the right thing, but she definitely started inside of the box, as they would like to call it. And the others were further outside. Maybe she was a little bit back, but it's always advantageous to start out wider when you're having the wind over whatever shoulder is on your outside. That definitely plays a fact into it. I would never rule Danielle McKenzie out of anything ever.
No.
And I think that you'd almost say like an angry Danielle McKenzie is worse than a winning Danielle McKenzie.
Well, we saw it last year in the WA race week. You know, she came home so strong, and she built into that week, and no doubt that is what she'll do this time around as well, because she just hasn't spent much time as much time as usual in the ski paddling downwind. So I think every bit is going to help her this week.
Every race will get better.
But even just to go to show the depth of the top 10 too, Anna Swedish was 11th yesterday. You know, she was third last year at the doctor, and she will undoubtedly be up there again this year as well. So a really good start. Macca, about 379 finishes I'm reading yesterday too. Big start
Massive.
To the week. There's going to be 700 by the time the doctor rolls around. So things are off and racing in the wild, windy west of Australia. How does your day look, Macca? You've got obviously 2 days between races now. What do you do this week just before we go?
Record podcast by the sound of it. I'm going to have to be on the clock. Hey?
That's right.
I actually have a very busy, very busy week of work, which for me, I don't really do well when everything is about one thing. So having a healthy distraction like work for me, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to work remotely, is good. I've just got to monitor it to make sure I'm not doing too much and still in that racing mindset. In terms of the paddling for me though, I'm someone that really doesn't paddle much if there's not a need to. Like I'm going to paddle four times still, including the doctor, 3 times before the doctor in some really hard races. My thing is like I'm not going to forget how to paddle in that time. I'll probably do one extra paddle maybe on the Monday, but that would be about it. And yeah, just about like rest, recovery, get everything right, eat the right foods, do the right recovery, you know. And it's not only for me, which I say time and time again, like the doctor's not the end this time. There's still the World Championships. And so I've got to think logically about how that works, how this week fits into that, and making that, you know, flow and
I'll send you a message to remind you of that when you're having a beer off the doctor on the Saturday night.
I don't know if I'll be going out for the first time ever.
Well, there's not long to wait to see whether Macca's prediction comes true or not, because the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week is off. This has been the first of our race recaps brought to you by Vicobi, and you will see them after the day after every race throughout the week. And I say the day after because I'm going to be in bed when you're probably finishing those races, Macca. So congratulations to everyone who raced. Congratulations to everyone who's listened. Congratulations to us on getting it through it pretty hungover. And congratulations to you too, Macca. Great start to the week, and we'll chat with you in a couple of days.
Thank you. Until 1 day, 2 days' time, everyone take care and enjoy.